So, thank you, Pierre, for coming. So, Pierre is going to tell us, he's coming from Grenoble in the Alps. Thanks for coming. And he's going to tell us about spontaneous crawling on tracks. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Thomas and Jean-François, for the invitation. It's a real pleasure to present my work in front of such distinguished audience. So indeed, I'm going to, my talk, I should mention first, is very complementary to the talk that was done by Raphael, the previous talk. I hope you will be able to appreciate it. It will be really a physics talk, so I will be manipulating equations. I hope that will be, that won't be too much of a burden. And okay, and what I'm aiming at is that showing in really with the simplest apparatus possible two kind of instabilities that may explain how a cell transition from a static, non-polarized and symmetric state to a polarized motile state. And okay, it will be a talk in two parts. First part is now I think quite established, it's almost 10 years old work, which continued, and the second part is unpublished. Okay, so yeah, let me just show my collaborators. So some of them I'm sure are already known by the audience, so I won't go into the details, and some papers related to this work. So again, in front of such audience, I will go very fast on these introductory slides because I think everybody already knows that. But the cell has a cytoskeleton. This cytoskeleton is a biopolymer meshwork which is able of three big active functions, a turnover of the filaments, contraction, which are mediated by molecular motors which can cross-link filaments and inflict some distributed contraction in the meshwork, and adhesion to the substrate to transmit the stresses on the external environment. And of course, these three functions, they require, they are out of equilibrium, they require the fact that there is a chemical reaction which is happening in the background of the system at every point and which is maintained out of equilibrium. And this feeds the system and provides these new terms. And of course, it was known back in the 70s by the pioneering work of Abercrombie that these three functions, they can conspire to lead to a crawling motion on the surface, and the kinematics has been beautifully described by Abercrombie. But in this talk, what I will be more aiming at is to really investigate the effect of initiation of motility. So it's the second time already that you see this picture. The right picture, which has been done by Alexander Berkovsky and co-author in the late 90s. And indeed, it's a fascinating experiment on fragments of keratocyte, which Raphael already presented, where with a gentle push, like a transient mechanical effect, you can initiate from a static, non-polarized fragment motility, where the distribution of molecular motors becomes asymmetric, they concentrate at the trailing edge. And there are more kind of recent experiments in the group of Julie Terrio, this is a paper of Patricia Yam here, where you can initiate the same instability with calculin A, which is a drug which promotes motor contraction, and you see that upon application of calculin A, you have formation of a spontaneous symmetry breaking. The symmetric configuration becomes unstable, and the cell starts to move. Of course, I won't go through the details of that, fortunately, but as also Raphael mentioned, there has been already quite some work from the physics community to investigate this type of instability. Some of this work involves nonlinear rheology, in a sense, because it implies, for instance, nonlinear friction. And some of the work is other works are also only applicable to dimension 2 and dimension 3 of space because they involve variables such as, for instance, cytoskeleton orientation or cell shape. What I want to show here is an effect which is robust because it also works in one dimension. So what I have in mind is the following experimental device where you consider cell moving on tracks. So you can design a fibronectin track, so you can kind of functionalize the substrate with a track of fibronectin, and that would constrain the motion in one direction. So this is the context of this famous cell race where they were designing this type of tracks. And then, of course, it's interesting for a theoretician because then you only have to deal with one spatial coordinate, which opens a huge toolbox of analytical methods to understand the type of instability that you may have. But it also carries some in vivo applicability because, for instance, cells migrating in matrices may migrate along fibers, and so. This might be something which is not only a theoretical curiosity or tool. So now I will start with the modeling. So again, what I will be modeling will be mostly mechanics of the cytoskeleton. So I am well aware, of course, of the fact that this system, like mechanics, is coupled with other aspects of cell biology. For instance, regulatory pathways which are coupled to mechanics. Here, what I want to show really is that mechanics is in a sense sufficient, and it already provides a background to explain the type of instabilities that we are seeing in experiments. So what I do is I consider first the cell as just as a segment with two moving fronts, L minus and L plus, and I have a stress field, which is a stress in the cytoskeleton meshwork. Again, I am working like Raphael with coarse-grained models, where I assume that the cytoskeleton meshwork can be coarse-grained in a certain way. There is a velocity, which it leads to continuum model, of course. There is velocity of the cytoskeleton meshwork, the density of filaments, and the concentration of motors which cross-link the filaments. Okay, and now I need to write some mechanical balance law for this system. And so one thing which you cannot escape is force balance. So here I consider overdamped dynamics where inertia is not playing any role, and so it takes a very simple form. The divergence of the stress, which is the internal forces, are balanced with external forces, which I take here as simple as possible, just as a viscous friction, having in mind that the dynamics of attachment and detachment from the adhesion protein is fast enough to do this. This is a certain limit of the system. Pierre Sens in the audience, I think, is a specialist of more complex law and justification of this type of law from micromodels. And there are no boundary. There are no forces applied at the cell ends, so there are zero tractions here. And I consider, again, like one of the simplest constitutive relations that you can think of, which is viscoelastic, linear viscoelastic constitutive relation, which relates the stress with the strain variable. So here you have a strain rate, and here you have a strain, which is proportional to the inverse of the density, plus a contractile term here, which is really an active term, because in the theory of active gel, it would be proportional to this delta mu variable, which is the difference of free energy between ATP and ADP, which is a chemical reaction which is maintained out of equilibrium. So this term is considered to be constant. So this is a truly close to equilibrium but non-equilibrium term. And again, all this setting is completely linear. So I have left these equations on the blackboard here because I'm gonna need them. So now I will investigate the first type of instability, which Raphael already mentioned in his talk, and try to explain it. So first, I consider in this system that the density is constant. I'm not considering any variation of the density of the filament. So it's a simplification, and that will lead to this contraction-driven motility. So in this case, as there is no protrusion, there is no polymerization and depolymerization, which is considered actively, the fronts are moving just according to the velocity of the filament. There are no fluxes at the boundary. As the density is constant, you can get to the constitutive behavior, and essentially as the mass of actin is conserved, it is equal to the density divided multiplied by the length, and from here you get the value of the density, which is proportional to the inverse of the length, and you can plug this in the elastic term, which becomes completely homogeneous. You can introduce a kind of a reduced stress, which is a sigma minus E rho naught L over MA. So this is a rest length. And this is equal just to the viscocontractile terms. And then you can combine this equation with the force balance, and you will get that the divergence of this stress is still equal to Cv. And the stress at the boundary will be equal to a residual stress, which is the effect of overall elasticity here, which is okay, which is minus L over L naught minus 1. And to simplify the physics, you may even take this to infinity, saying that the mechanism which controls the cell lengths are very strong. And then the length will go to a constant, L naught, and this will be converged to a residual stress, which is unknown. Okay, and if you combine this equation with this equation, you will get an equation which relates the concentration of molecular motors, with the stress which is created in the system. And L naught is the so-called hydrodynamic length. And so it says that the motor, they create stress in a non-local way. And now you have to say something about the motor dynamics. And what I say here is just that they have a drift diffusion dynamic. The drift is coming from the fact that these motors are advected with the meshwork, so as they cross-link the meshwork filaments. And the diffusion is coming from the fact that the motor attach and detach from the filaments. It looks incredibly professional. It never happened in my life. And the diffusion, the effective diffusion that we have here, is just coming from the diffusion of the molecular motors, which are free in the cytoplasm, redressed by an attachment-detachment dynamics. Okay, of course, the motor, it means that the total amount of motor is conserved because there are no flux boundary conditions. The motor do not flow through the boundaries. So now you have this equation for the stress, which is coupled with the drift diffusion equation, and that's exactly a Keller-Siegel system, which has been used quite a while for chemotaxis. So you see normally here sigma is the stress concentration, and C is the chemoattractant in the traditional way that chemotaxis is understood. Here it's a mechanical chemotaxis which happens, which means that the motor create a stress in a non-local way. And this creates stress gradients, which brings even more motor, which creates even more stress. And that's a positive feedback loop, which creates accumulation of motors to a focus. But this is counteracted by diffusion, which tries to kill the gradients. And then there is an interplay between the drift and the diffusion term. And at a critical
at a critical value of the contractility in the system, you have an instability, which is a Keller-Siegel instability, where where motor lose their symmetry and accumulate at the trailing edge. And, sorry, yeah, vaut mieux que je... Okay, sorry. Okay, so here the motor, they lose their homogeneous symmetry and they accumulate at the trailing edge. And you can do a lot then around this instability with Jean-François, and he presented it in his course. We have looked to what extent it is optimal in a certain sense. You can also play with nonlinear contractility functions with a saturation, and indeed you would get that the nature of this bifurcation can change and it can become subcritical, opening up the possibility of having coexistence between static and motile state. One thing I want to mention also to make a connection with experiment is that these models, even if they are extremely simple, they are not that silly in the sense that you can fit experiments with parameters which are realistic, which are measured by other techniques and which are realistic. Okay. But as this colloquium is also about collective cell dynamics, I wanted to say a few words about something else on this system, which is about how to generalize the system to collective behavior. And you can do this actually in a completely, again, mechanical way, not considering other chemoattractant or chemicals, but just saying that cells interact through a force because when they meet. And the first step to do this is to consider the very same system I was showing with an external force. And if you do this, you can build force velocity relations. And what you see is that if you are above here, if you are above the contractility threshold upon which there is spontaneous polarization of the cell, so here in this quotient, the cell was pushing against the force. But at some point, because the force is also creating a cytoskeleton flow, there is a spontaneous repolarization because the force provides the cue, the mechanical force provides the cue that is sufficient to repolarize the cell. And one thing which is interesting is that these force velocity relations can or not show a stall point. And then what you can do is really consider cell collisions where each cell is modeled with the system I was showing and model just the force very simply depending on the distance between the two cells, and you get this type of phase diagram. And indeed, when on the force velocity relation you don't have the possibility to have stall, when the cell meets, the force builds up between them, which is sufficient to provide to lead to their repolarization. And that's a hallmark of contact inhibition of locomotion. And you can also find other states. Here, the cells may form trains, like they repolarize in the same direction. They may stall when a stall point is accessible, or they may bypass when actually contractility is strong enough. And it's interesting to notice that these states have been found in experiments dealing with this system where cells interact on a track. And okay, I'm not saying that this should be understood as a quantitative model for contact inhibition of locomotion, but it's interesting to see that mechanics already provides enough ingredients to explain at least qualitatively this type of states. Okay, now I'm going to move to the second part of this talk, which is about protrusion-driven motility. So here now I consider completely perpendicular to the first part that the concentration of molecular motors, so here, is kept constant. So there is no instability at that stage. And now, of course, I leave the density of filament free. And I need to specify something now. Now I will consider the following setting, which is purely symmetric, which is completely symmetric, sorry, where there is a mass flux, a polymerizing mass flux, which is at both sides, completely symmetric, and a depolymerization in the bulk. So here is the mass flux condition that I have. And here is the conservation of mass within the bulk, where I've taken a bulk polymerization, which is proportional to the actin density. Now, what you can do to make the physics simpler is to consider that the rate of change of the density is small compared to the rate of depolymerization. And if you do that, you end up with a simple form of the mass conservation law, where the divergence of the stress, as Raphael was writing and as is in Carles Blanche Mercader paper, where the divergence of the stress is just equal to minus the depolymerization rate. If you do that, of course, if you get back to the constitutive relation and you write the stress, now you have a stress. The rate of the strain rate is a constant. It's minus gamma. So you have a constant term here. You have another constant term here coming from the contractility. And then you have the term here coming from the strain, which depends on the density. Which means that when I consider the boundary condition, which is that the stress is fixed at the boundaries, it means that the density is fixed at the boundaries. So I can simplify this equation with the classical, I may say, kinetic boundary condition with polymerization speed, where the polymerization speed is just the flux divided by the constant density at the fronts, which we completely know. And okay, when you do this, then you have the front dynamics, and it just depends on the velocity. And the velocity you know through the mass balance, which is just linear, you need to adjust a constant. And this constant is adjusted by mass balance here, by force balance here. Because if you integrate this with zero boundary conditions, if you integrate this, you will have that the integral of the velocity is equal to zero, which sets the constant that you need. And then you have a velocity field, which is linear, which represents two opposed retrograde flow, which is purely symmetric. And as it's purely symmetric, in this condition, the length will converge to a constant, which is just a ratio of the polymerization over the depolymerization, and the velocity goes to zero. And so no motility is possible with this protrusion-driven dynamic in this case. But you may bring another ingredient in the system, which Raphael was already mentioning in his talk, which is the fact that the substrate is deformable. Here I'm showing, okay, cell in a 3D collagen matrix, but Raphael was in fact showing much more compelling videos where you can see that the cell imposes quite large deformation on its environment because its environment is soft. This is also the same type of quantification for cell on a track. And then the simplest kind of generalization that you can do is to consider, of the friction law that I was considering before, is to consider relative speed, velocity minus the velocity of the substrate. And to find the velocity of the substrate, it's just the time derivative of the displacement of the substrate, which is triggered by the traction force that the cell imposes on its environment. And I do this in a very simple context. So something did not show up very well here. Anyway. So I consider a very thin cell. So it exerts only tangential effort on the substrate. The substrate is a semi-infinite, incompressible, elastic substrate. And what I want to show you now is the consequence of this. So here you will recognize the elastic, the famous log elastic kernel in plane strain. So this is the expression for a semi-infinite substrate half space of the displacement imposed by some traction force field, tangential traction force field. It involves a Young modulus here, which is a Young modulus of the substrate. And then when you want to compute the velocity, it's purely linear elasticity, by the way. When you impose velocity, when you want to compute the velocity of the substrate, you have two terms. You have this partial derivative term, which in steady state cancels out, plus a convective term, because the loading follows the deformation. And okay, and the variation of the length can be neglected because, as we found previously, the length converges to a constant. And so you have, in steady state, a velocity which depends on the velocity of the cell, which is unknown, times a Cauchy kernel, which represents the deformation of the substrate. It's a quadratic nonlinearity here. Although this is constant, this is unknown, and this depends on the traction force. So it's again a convective quadratic nonlinearity, exactly like in the contraction-driven motility case, it was a convective quadratic nonlinearity which was leading to the instability. And then, of course, you can combine this expression. So here, the traction force expression I recall was the friction times the relative velocity. We know that the relative velocity depends on the traction force according to this integral equation here. And we can couple the two to get a Cauchy type equation. So it's an integral equation, Fredholm integral equation of the second kind. Okay, with the right hand side, which represents your left hand side, sorry, which represents the retrograde flow, which is created by the polymerization depolymerization process. I'm almost done. And then of course there is a free parameter here, which is the velocity of the cell. And this velocity is fixed by the fact that the total traction forces have to vanish because there are no imposed forces. So this is linear. It contains only one non-dimensional parameter, which measures the amount of traction forces compared to the rigidity of the substrate. And it occurs that this is solvable analytically. And it leads to and there is a bifurcation in this system. There is an instability, so this is the expression, by the way, explicit expression of this instability. And it means that above a certain threshold of traction forces that are applied on the substrate, the cell will spontaneously polarize, which means that the traction forces will become asymmetric. The density, of course, of filament will also become asymmetric. And this is a sort of buckling instability of the surface of the substrate. And you can even refine the elastic kernel. Here I've considered only plane strain, but with more realistic elastic kernel, you can get also a biphasic behavior where the dependence of the velocity on theta becomes non-monotone. And with this, I'm going to conclude. So I've presented two mechanical spontaneous symmetry breaking instabilities, which can, of course, in real system conspire to initiate motility of a cell in a one-dimension track. And the contraction-driven motility, which is now more well-known, is based on a positive feedback loop in which the motor create a flow that increases their local concentration. It's a positive feedback. And the protrusion-driven motility is based on an interaction with the environment where there is a sort of surface buckling of the substrate, which leads to a spontaneous polarization. Thank you for your attention.